sufficient ever with money again before we take the thing home to the ends of government.
Yo, welcome to the first Simply Bitcoin Live. We usually pre-recorded the episodes and we would edit it, we did whatever. We want to change it up. We want to make it special for you guys. Because it is live, I'm definitely not going to be able to edit out any mistakes. So you guys are going to have to bear with us. We have been doing this for quite a while, so it's not going to be as bad as if we started doing it live about a year ago. So anyways, I think it's really special. I think depending on how you guys like it, this is how we will probably do Simply Bitcoin in the future, depending on how you guys, you know, how you guys receive this. If you're new to the show, welcome to Simply Bitcoin, where we cover the Bitcoin news, the catastrophic fails by the central bankers, the shitcoiners, governments, everybody, and of course, meme culture, Bitcoin culture, all of it. We are your one-stop shop, your number one source for the Bitcoin revolution. And of course, my co-host, legendary Optimus Fields. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, Nico? I am doing well. I'm excited for this. We've been busy already this morning. So this is going to be a good show. Let's just get into it.
Let's just get into it. All right, guys. So here we go.
For number time.
Brought to you by Noddle. They make some of the best Bitcoin nodes, like the Noddle 1. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. Remember, guys, if you don't run your own Bitcoin node, you're using someone else's. And now, if you're a digital nomad, you have no excuse, because you could run a Noddle node over a virtual private server anywhere around the world. Visit Noddle.eu. All right,
guys. So, very interesting. We're at that point in the movie where they're starting to redefine things. I'm going to play you a clip in a little bit, but first, I'm going to read you a quote from 1984. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. And we're at that part of the movie where they're already redefining things. Check out this clip from MSNBC.
Is that not the first sign of a coming recession, even if it's a mild one?
Well, I would say that we're seeing a slowdown. We're likely to see some slowing of job creation. But I don't think that that's a recession. A recession is broad-based weakness in the economy. We're not seeing that now, and I absolutely don't think that's necessary.
So what is the definition of a recession? A recession is negative GDP growth for two quarters in a row. And now you have the redefinition of things. We're at that part of the movie. Of course, if you don't like Clown World, if you're sick of this BS, opt out, buy yourself some Bitcoin. And let me read a tweet by Greg Foss. I'll pull it up for you guys so you guys can check it out as well. White House economists working on changing the goalposts. Recession will now be defined as X consecutive quarters of growth. Just cause, and this is fiat for you. This is what you have to deal with when your wealth is in fiat money. You have to deal with total fucking Clown World, the lies. I tweeted this out, and I'm surprised this tweet did so good. And the Space Cat even retweeted it. And I said, look, I'm just sick of the lies. And like, this is what I've been experiencing for the last, you know, couple of months, years in Clown World. It's just lie after lie after lie after lie. They have the mainstream media machine behind them. Man, I'm sick of it. And the only truth that I see, the thing that I can hang on, the thing that doesn't change, TikTok next block, is Bitcoin. Bitcoin stays true while the world continues to be full of fucking lies. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
I love this. I love what you said, man. Bitcoin is truth. Just give me truth or give me death. The gaslighting by these bureaucrats and government officials and the small cabal that rules the world, they really just think we're absolutely a lot stupider than we are. And I don't know about you, but that makes me mad, and that makes me want to stack more Bitcoin, and that makes me want to spread the sound money gospel even more. So give me all your hate. I will turn it into orange love and spread the Bitcoin adoption to whoever will listen. Shouts out to all you plebs out there.
Hell yeah. All right. So let's get to the news, shall we? Time for
the daily news.
Brought to you by CryptoCloaks.com. They make some of the best 3D printed Bitcoin merch, like the famous 3D printed Bitcoin grenade toy. It comes in any custom color your heart desires. This just happens to be in Simply Bitcoin colors or Bitcoin colors. Or what if you like Peter Schiff, like gold? That's right. He makes it in gold. Any custom color. Definitely go check out CryptoCloaks. You can take advantage of the promo code down below to get 5% off. If you're in Europe, the European store is now open. Check out CryptoCloaks.com. All right, guys. So, we at Simply Bitcoin, we pride ourselves at being the counter-narrative to the legacy mainstream media propaganda machine. And of course, right, take advantage of the fact that Bitcoin is down 70% from all-time highs, beat up Nayib Bukele, and of course, keep releasing these mainstream media hit pieces. So anyways, let's check this out. This is by a mainstream outlet. This is by The Telegraph. The name of the article is El Salvador forced its citizens to use Bitcoin. Here's what happened. And of course, they nitpick, right? Rosa Molina, a 27-year-old waitress from El Zante on El Salvador's coast, has vowed never to use Bitcoin again. Last September, the country's populist president, Nayib Bukele, promised to make this Central American nation the Bitcoin capital of the world, ordering that it become official tender and forcing all businesses to accept the cryptocurrency, right? So again, the fair, you read that, you're like, wow, Nayib Bukele must be unpopular. He must be tyrant to his people. Mind you, Joe Biden's approval rating is in the 30s. Let's take a look at Nayib Bukele's. This is one of the highest in South America. Approval rating 91%, 84%, 85%, 84%, 87%, 94%, 86%, 96%. You get the picture. This is one of the most popular politicians in South America right now. But of course, if you're reading this article, he is a tyrant. He is a villain. Anyways, the 40-year-old Elon Musk disciple offered every citizen the equivalent of $30 in a national wallet and has spent $107 million of public money on digital coins in an effort to springboard the country out of poverty and into unimaginable wealth. It was a Bitcoin bonanza. Some 3 million people, around half the population, created a Chivo wallet. And many, including Miss Molina and her husband, invested their savings, believing they would get rich quick. Now, what do we always tell you on Simply Bitcoin? Bitcoin is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It takes proof of work. It takes commitment. It takes belief, right? Most people, in their first year in Bitcoin, unless they time it absolutely right, get absolutely wrecked. Bitcoin is a savings technology. It shines over a period of 2, 3, 4 years. The longer you hold it, the more you benefit from it. Instead, the value of Bitcoin has plummeted 60%, wiping away tens of millions of dollars worth of hopes, dreams, and taxpayer money. Again, this article is trying to portray a certain message. During the virus, we bought a plot of land for $5,000 not far from here, she said, looking up towards the verdant hillside. We had $7,000 in savings to build a house, but my husband became obsessed with Bitcoin. He put $1,000 in the account, but it went down to $400. I told him to withdraw, but he put more in because the president kept saying it would go up. It never did. We lost thousands and now can't afford a roof. We have a plot of land with just walls. Miss Molina, who has a 6-year-old daughter, earns just $10 a day. Inflation in El Salvador was 7.5% in May, but food prices are up by 13.5%. Whose fault is that? Is it El Salvador's fault that inflation is at 7.5%? No, El Salvador uses the US dollar, meaning every time the US government prints, El Salvador is the one
that suffers the consequences, the people of El Salvador. Now, she said something about how she couldn't afford a house. Well, unfortunately for the legacy media, Simply Bitcoin pulls up the receipts. Here is priced in Bitcoin. It's something that we've referenced all the time. Why? Because Bitcoin is a deflationary currency, meaning your purchasing power in Bitcoin goes up over time. But you have to be able to zoom out. Miss Molina was absolutely right. On a year basis, that house that she wanted got 80% more expensive. But Bitcoin shines when you start to zoom out. And remember, there's a supply shock insured in Bitcoin, right? There's a halving every 4 years, right? So, year three, a house, a medium new house gets 34% cheaper. If you zoom out 5 years, even at Bitcoin 70% down from all-time high, a house is 83% cheaper. A new car on a 5-year timescale is 84% cheaper. Chicken is 86% cheaper. I know this, the Bitcoiners love this one. Steak is 81% cheaper. On a 3-year timescale, steak is still 33% cheaper. So, this media article, right, this legacy media, they just like you to believe, oh no, everything's going to shit. Even on Bitcoin being 70% down, it is still cheaper if you've been saving in Bitcoin. The longer you save in Bitcoin, the more you feel those benefits. The article goes on to say, Ricardo Casenda, the El Salvador lead Central American Institute for Fiscal Studies, right? It sounds like they believe in the Church of Fiat, right? I'm on that name, right? Central American Institute for Fiscal Studies. Bukele has spent $107 million on Bitcoin. It is now worth $55 million. That may not sound like a lot to those for bigger countries, but in El Salvador, that is the entire annual budget for the Department of Agriculture. Mr. Bukele denies negotiating, but there has been a dramatic decrease in murders. In a remarkable show of force, more than 43,000 suspected gang members have been rounded up and imprisoned, with many of their rights suspended, right? You got to worry about the rights of gang members. With the threat of further violence, rising prices, and looming risk of debt default, is worried about what lies ahead for his country. It reminds me of the scene in Titanic. The music is still playing, but the ship is sinking. So again, record approval rating. But not only that, let's take a look at the GDP growth of El Salvador. This chart goes back all the way to 1966. Last year, 2021, El Salvador had a 10.8% GDP growth. That is the highest in like 50 years. Of course, that isn't mentioned in the article because it doesn't fit the narrative. Now, let's take a look at the homicide rate, right? This goes back all the way to 2010. As you can tell, the homicide rate has continued to drop down. So, let's talk about a couple things, shall we? Declining murder rate, increase in GDP, ability to receive money from overseas without paying up to 30% to Western Union. And that article only focuses on one thing, Bitcoin bad. And it picked one example in a very shortened time scale. Let's talk to Miss Molina in 3 years and see how she feels. Instead of being able to build a house on a hillside, she'll be able to build three. But of course, are they going to follow that up? No, because it doesn't fit the narrative. Our job at Simply Bitcoin is to counter this propaganda, because at the end of the day, that's what this is. This isn't sincere. It's not looking at the facts. It's not zooming out. It's not highlighting the benefits of Bitcoin that has already brought to the people of El Salvador. No. Let's just focus on this one example of this one person that got into Bitcoin at the wrong time. When I got into Bitcoin, right, I got a little bit lucky because I got in 2016, but most people out of my class got in 2017. And unless they got in at the right time, they got absolutely wrecked. And that's totally normal. Bitcoin shines when you use it as a savings technology rather than looking at it like an investment, because it's really savings. Don't speculate on it. Don't try to trade it. Don't use leverage. What Odell always says, stay humble and stack sats. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on that? You're the master of propaganda at Simply Bitcoin, dude. What are your thoughts on this shit? It must be making your blood boil, bro. You saw all the tactics that they used.
Man, honestly, Nico, since you gave me access to the Bloomberg and I am following all the propaganda daily, it doesn't surprise me anymore, but it definitely gets my blood boiling. The narrative and the framing of all these articles, it's just atrocious, guys. Like, I was in El Salvador. Shout out to Rosa. She has a really great restaurant. She makes really great food. That's besides the point. She did have the sign down there when I was there that she does not accept Bitcoin. Very interesting to see what the story was behind that, because me and Weinikis were talking about it and we were wondering what was happening. But like you said, you know, I bought tops in 2017 and there is no loss in Bitcoin if you don't sell it. So zoom out, lower your time preference. You need profits to save, guys. Like, this is a fundamental thing that Bitcoiners kind of gloss over. You can't just throw in your life savings into Bitcoin and expect not to get wrecked. As we covered last week, you need to have cash flow because you don't want to sell these sats. And then just furthermore, just because I am a proud propagandist, I really love how legacy media invoked the Titanic right there. And they are basically the violinist on the Titanic when it is crashing, just making sure that everyone feels good about the fact that the legacy system is dying around them, and just acknowledge it with pretty music, guys. You know, orange coin bad, don't buy Bitcoin. Look at this poor lady, she got wrecked. You know, be empathetic, Bitcoin's bad, but we know the way. Continue to stack sats, continue to stay humble, zoom out, lower your time preference. No one loses money on a long enough time frame in Bitcoin. Number goes up in a world of infinite money printing. 21 million hard cap is the way. Anyways, Nico, keep it rolling.
That's some signal right there from our master of propaganda, Optimus Fields. Anyways, I want to talk about something interesting. And Bitcoin Magazine wrote an excellent article, which we're about to get to. But look, one of the things that I always hear from people is, what if the government bans it? What if the government shuts down the internet? What if... basically that. What if the government shuts down the internet? What happens? How could you transact in Bitcoin? And there's many ways to do it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about something called mesh nets. And it's a different way of using the internet. So anyways, let's check it out. Let me pull up the article. Here we go. Making Bitcoin Unstoppable, Part 1, Mesh Nets. In June 2020, people in Ethiopia face an unpleasant surprise following unrest caused by the killing of musician activist. Oh, God, guys, Nico can't read. Mr. Hundusa. I'm sorry, Mr. Hundusa, if I pronounced that incorrectly. The Ethiopian government successfully ordered a shutdown of the internet. For close to a month, over 100 million people were cut off from all internet services. In the same year, people of Algeria, Azerbaijan, Bangladesh, Belarus, Burundi, Chad, Cuba, Congo, Ecuador, Egypt, Guinea, India, Iraq, Iran, Jordan, Kenya faced imposed internet access outages in some or all parts of the country. In 2021, Uganda ordered a complete internet shutdown for 4 days during its general elections. After elections in Niger, authorities responded to anti-government protests by shutting off access to the internet for 10 days. Shutting down access to the internet is a viable solution to control social uprisings and limit the flow of information both in and out of certain regions. When people cannot communicate, attempts to organize become close to impossible. Contrary to popular assumption, shutting down access to the internet is a fairly simple task for governments to accomplish. Though we like to think of the internet as a global decentralized network of individual computers, the reality is that the majority of our internet access is handled via these internet service providers subject to government mandates. In times of social unrest and government crackdowns, mesh networks offer a lifeline to uphold communication. During pro-democracy protests in Hong Kong 2014 and 2019, protesters turned to mesh network alternatives to send and receive messages with the Android and iOS app FireChat and Bridgeify to circumvent possible internet shutdowns. Building communications via Bluetooth, messages are relayed via each participant in the network. Meshing via Bluetooth has its issues as most apps do not encrypt traffic, a problem which mobile app Briar is aiming to solve. Another issue is battery usage. Bluetooth is extremely power hungry, making usage unfit for regions where electricity is difficult. Some companies such as GoTenna, we're going to try to get the CEO on the show, I've talked to him in the past before, have focused on designing dedicated devices for mesh networking. The problem here is that in the middle of a conflict, one cannot simply go on Amazon and order a dedicated mesh networking device. Dedicated devices are often not interoperable with other mesh networking devices. To build a nation-scale mesh network with dedicated devices, each citizen would need to be in possession of a dedicated device, a scenario that is highly unlikely. Other projects such as LoRaWAN's Meshtastic can be built via a off-the-shelf hardware, but again are subject to the pain point of needing to access to such a metaphorical shelves in a situation of urgent need. In a mesh network, participants can choose to share their access to the broader internet with other nodes in the network. If Alice still has connection to the broader internet via her ISP, she can share her internet access with Bob, Carol, David, and so on. As long as they all operate on the same mesh network together, sharing internet access via mesh networks is a viable solution if internet access is restricted or distributed in certain parts of the country. If we want to utilize mesh networks to send and receive Bitcoin transactions via the Lightning Network, it's best to have open channels ahead of internet access outages. But Lightning channels could even be opened by broadcasting transactions via radio. In 2017 proposal, Nick Szabo Alin detailed the sending and receiving of Bitcoin via shortwave radio links, allowing offline Bitcoin transactions to be sent over vast distances by bouncing signals off the ionosphere. In 2021, Brazilian activist group Satoshi Radio even took it a step further, bouncing a Bitcoin transaction containing the message, "Elon, we did it first," off the moon. With this, Satoshi Radio sent their transaction over 600 kilometers before it was broadcast to the blockchain, attempting to show that you don't have to be some eccentric billionaire to push the boundaries of Earth in search of freedom. With a mesh network, we completely decentralize our communication infrastructure, as anyone could become an ISP in the network. Individuals may choose to offer Mumble or Matrix servers for communication or provide local access to Wikipedia, while open channels in the Lightning Network can be used to facilitate Bitcoin transactions without uplink to the broader internet. Mesh networks are also cost-efficient to deploy, as already available hardware can be used to facilitate communication and provide unprecedented benefits for people who live under circumstances susceptible to disruptions of internet access. So, man, that was fascinating. And again, you don't need the internet to send a Bitcoin transaction. But it's not also mesh networks, guys, right? There's the Blockstream satellite, where you can connect a Bitcoin node via satellite to the Bitcoin network. And the reason that I wanted to talk about this, right, is something that we always say on the show: you can't stop the signal. The signal is unstoppable. It Bitcoin always finds a way. Freedom always finds a way. If you shut down the internet, there are different alternatives. And you, as a freedom-loving individual, you should understand how to utilize these things so that even if you're in a location that is prone to internet shutdowns or internet censorships, you still have access to the Bitcoin network. The Gotenna is an easy solution. You could just buy it, you could set it up, but the downfall is that you need other people that need Gotennas, right? Again, none of these solutions are better than having a hard line into a router, but they are workarounds. And now if you have that one uncle that's like, oh, governments are gonna shut it down, you could literally be like, but nah, I'm gonna find a way, right? So anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
Well, if a government shut down the internet to block Bitcoin, I don't know about you guys, but that would make me so absolutely bullish. I would probably have my head explode. That would just show how afraid they are of Bitcoin. And if they made that big of a play, guys, you already know my view. That means Bitcoin is winning, and shouts out to us. But I definitely got, or at least went down the rabbit hole a little while, maybe like a year or so ago, to look into Gotennas and mesh networks. And I really wanted to buy a Gotenna or a few of them. And I was sleeping on it. And I just saw in the chat, Level 99 Slacker say that Gotennas aren't going to be in stock until next year. So if you want to get on the mesh network, maybe you already needed to get some. But I think it doesn't really matter. Because as Nico is saying, Bitcoin will route around anything and freedom-minded individuals will find a way. So Bitcoin fixes this. Bitcoin is changing the world. Orange Coin, good. Shouts out to all you guys trying to ban us from Bitcoin. It ain't going to work. I'm with it. Anyways, Nico, you're muted.
Yeah, freedom finds a way. And I think that's the message that, you know, I really want to portray, right? When the Iron Curtain fell over, you know, Eastern Europe, one of the things that always happened was people, you know, and especially in Berlin, right? They would go over the Berlin Wall. They would try to escape. In Cuba, in Miami, right? You'd have Cubans literally going on a boat, trying to, you know, cross the strait, trying to go to Miami for freedom. Freedom always finds a way. And that's the message that I want to say, right? Governments, the state could try to stop you, but what Bitcoin gives you, the tools that Bitcoin gives you, only if you take self-custody, is not only the ability to vote with your wallet, but also your feet. And if you compare that with the legacy system, right? Dude, if your money's in a bank account, you can't take that with you. You can't just get on a plane, take it with you. With Bitcoin, if you take it in self-custody, you could hide that seed phrase. You could memorize that seed phrase in a tough situation, right? And you could literally take all of your wealth with you. I heard horror stories of Venezuelans trying to escape Venezuela, taking their wealth with them. And the only thing they could take with them was their Bitcoin, right? Moving to Brazil, moving to other South American countries, right? That's the benefits of Bitcoin. And I know a lot of people say, oh, but what if they shut down the internet? Well, here's another solution. Radios, the mesh networks, satellite. And I'm sure as time progresses, more and more solutions are going to pop up. At the end of the day, freedom wins. And the battle for Bitcoin, separating money from state, is all about giving freedom to the individual, the likes of which he has never seen before. But anyways, Opti, let's move on. Opti, it's time for
The Daily Fail.
Brought to you by Swan. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plan, instant purchases, and it's serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. What we advocate for on Simply Bitcoin is dollar cost averaging, and our values align with Swan, right? They incentivize self-custody. They want you to take self-custody. They don't want you to leave it on the app. And they incentivize DCA, right? Which is, in our opinion, the best way to stack Bitcoin without, you know, speculation, whatever. Spread out the risk over a number of days. Swan.com.
All right, guys. I'm here with the fail. Let me get this screen share. I saw this tweet by Seifteen, and he's Lebanese, and he's quoting this tweet by Reuters, and he goes, when your highest denomination bill is worth roughly $3, and the tweet by Reuters is saying, in case you missed it, in cash-strapped Lebanon, people are gifting bouquets made from cash. So let's watch this video a little bit. And it goes, these money bouquets are an alternative to high-priced flowers for Lebanese people living in the cash-strapped country. So if you remember, Lebanon is getting their currency wrecked, and people are trying to find profit. So Tamara Harari makes the bouquets out of Lebanese pounds and U.S. dollar bills. And so she said, I thought that maybe flowers don't work as much anymore due to their high prices. So I wanted to do something similar to flowers. Of course, there's no substitute for flowers, but maybe it is better than offering a flower bouquet, which can cost today 1.5 or 2 million Lebanese pounds. People can give money and help the person, be it on their birthday or any other occasion. So as you can see, Lebanon has been rocked by a full-blown economic crisis since October 2019. Currency has crashed more than 90%. And this is what happened. About 80% of Lebanese inhabitants now live below the poverty line. So this made me think. I went down and started to look into the actual numbers of the Lebanon inflation. And as you can see, Lebanon's annual inflation rate slowed to 210.08% in June of 2022 from May's three-month high of 211.43% as inflation eased for most components. And you can see the various inflation rates of food and non-alcoholic beverages, transport, furnishings, households, equipment, and various other things. And I just wanted to make a note right here, because as we tell you guys all the time in regards to CPI, CPI is easily manipulated. And so I just wanted to make one little point of that as we move on in this fail. You can see what Lebanese CPI is and the various ratio weights that they use to count CPI. So housing, water, electricity, gas, and other fuels, 28%, food and non-alcoholic beverages, 20%, transport, 13%. And the index also includes health, education, clothing, footwear, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a point right here where on a monthly basis, consumer prices rose 9.23% in June, the most in 6 months, accelerating from a 7.85% gain in the prior month. Well, that 9.2% sounds eerily familiar to the U.S.'s categorized inflation. And as you can see, the annual inflation rate in the U.S. accelerated to 9.1%. Remember what Nika told you about earlier the show about the recession? Yeah, it's not looking too good. Anyways, you can see the different ratios of the percentages going up. And again, just to make the point about how easily manipulatable the CPI is, here we go. In the United States, the unadjusted CPI numbers for all urban consumers is based on the price of a market basket of food, 14%, energy, 9.3%, commodities less food and energy commodities, 19%, and services less energy service, 57%. The last category divided by shelter, medical care services, and transportation services. So this got me thinking to a continuous fail by the powers that be and the unelected bureaucrats out there. So remember this fail about Janet Yellen. Yellen sees recent inflation as transitory rather than permanent. So a year ago, guys, June 5th, 2021, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said the recent rise in prices will subside. We're seeing some inflation, but I don't believe it's permanent. We're at least on a year-over-year basis will continue, I believe, through the rest of the year to see higher inflation rates, maybe around 3%. Well, she was wrong by three times because it's 9%. And here's her famous quote. I personally believe this represents transitory factors. Well, let's fast forward a little bit to this year. And Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen finally admits she was wrong about inflation. June 1st, 2022. Of course, she will finally admit that she was wrong and U.S. inflation isn't transitory. And to make our point even further, remember that it's not just Janet Yellen, but also Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell that have all been wrong about inflation. And these are the people that are supposed to know what's going on and control the money supply. But listen to their cop-out. I was wrong then about the path that inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that have boosted energy and food prices and supply bottlenecks that have affected our economy badly that I, at the time, didn't fully understand, but we recognize that now. Of course, they recognize it now. Well, we got this other story this weekend about a famous, famous, famous economist that also got it wrong. So look at this headline. New York Times columnist admits to being wrong in series of mea culpas. So July 21, 2022, look who we have here, Paul Krugman. And of course, as a Bitcoiner, I'm not going to miss an opportunity to dunk on Paul Krugman. So the New York Times on Thursday published a series of mea culpas from eight of its opinion columnists about how they were each wrong on a variety of topics. The package of apologetic essays included a piece from Paul Krugman admitting that he was wrong about inflation. For his part, Krugman admitting to getting it wrong when it came to inflation, noting that he brushed off any fears that President Biden's $1.9 trillion rescue package could lead to inflation. Remember, he's an economist. So some warned that the package would be dangerously inflationary. Others were fairly relaxed. I was team relaxed. As it turned out, of course, that was a very bad call. Explaining that in the end, he underestimated the impact of the pandemic on the economy. Oh, Mr. Paul Krugman. And of course, I am not going to miss this opportunity to dunk on him completely. So shout out to NakamotoInstitute.org because of their famous skeptic page, The Skeptics, a tribute to bold assertions, last updated July 24th, 2022. Well, let's just scroll down here, guys, and see who is on here. Oh, yeah. Paul Krugman, September 7th, 2011, when the Bitcoin price was $7.16. Nobel Prize winning economist writes an article for the New York Times called Golden Cyber Fetters, where he says, so to the extent that the Bitcoin experiment tells us anything about monetary regimes, it reinforces the case against anything like a new gold standard. Because it shows just how vulnerable such a standard would be to money hoarding, deflation, and depression. Amazing, Krugman. And this is just a nice little DCA strategy here that the boys over at Nakamoto Institute put on here. If you had bought a dollar every single day since Paul Krugman made this really bad take, you would have invested $3,974 and your Bitcoin balance would have been 94.25 Bitcoin for a current value of $2,135,000 and a percent change of 53,000%. Amazing. Well, as Nico showed you, we also got in the news that Secretary Janet Yellen is saying, I am not seeing evidence of a U.S. recession now. And I just want to bring in a few things. Remember Randy Brito? He was from Venezuela. We brought these numbers in yesterday. And I just wanted to make a point about what happens when your currency loses all its value. Look at this picture of how much it costs to buy a chicken. They aren't counting it in dollars. They just count it in weight and size. So just to sum this all up, here's a good tweet by Ben Rickard on Twitter. And he goes, here's quoting Joe Biden. Last quarter, consumer spending, business investment, and residential investment increased at strong rates. Joe Biden, 2022. And his response, in reality, personal saving rates are at an all-time low while consumers are being destroyed by inflation and negative real interest rates. And we got the numbers here. Here's the Fed personal saving rates. As you can tell, it's going down and it's lower than numbers from 2001. Amazing. And furthermore, as you can see, the nominal versus real interest rates versus inflation, it's not looking good, guys. It is not looking good. And just for historical account, I had to bring up this picture from Weimar Republic because it makes my point for me even better. What happens when your currency is useless? You start playing with it. You start stacking it. And not in the way that we usually tell you to stack sats. You do whatever you can so that you can survive this currency collapse. And guys, I'm not saying that this is where America is in this moment. All I'm saying is if you look at the numbers, that 9% inflation rate that we have been seeing and how Nico just literally stated in the news that they are trying to reframe what recession is, you can tell that they are manipulating all the statistics so that they can try to push their narrative. So, as you can tell, Janet Yellen's been wrong about inflation before. Nobel Peace Prize economist Paul Krugman wrong about inflation in the past. And now they're telling you that there is no recession. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe these people and fall into the narrative that we are not in a recession and we are not going into a recession? Or are you going to prepare accordingly and protect yourself and stack sats? I know what I am doing. I know what most of you are doing, but we need to spread this message that people need to be aware that legacy media is lying to them. We are in more hot water than they're willing to tell us. And it's not looking good if these numbers continue to go down this path. It's not pretty out there, Nico. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, dude, look, Paul Krugman was also famous for saying that the internet was not going to amount to anything. These are your so-called betters, man. And, you know, when you say when you contradict what they have to say, you're labeled a conspiracy theorist. It was really the Bitcoin community and a couple other people from the intellectual dark web that were saying, hey, there's going to be inflation because they're printing a record amount of money. And the legacy media was just the amount of gaslighting and was just to other levels. You know, you were labeled just all these, I don't even want to say them, but just all these things, all these descriptions of look, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're an alt-right troll, like all this crazy stuff. And why did we think there was going to be a record amount? Look, it's not normal that two plebs on the internet that don't have these fancy degrees were right about inflation, were right about all the consequences of all this money printing, and all these people with fancy degrees and all these titles that work at these legacy media institutions that you're supposed to trust were right about inflation. Like, that isn't normal. And this is why people's trust in legacy media is at an all-time low. Like, this is why the gaslighting, people are sick and tired of the lies. And I think that they're looking for other sources, man, because it's just not cool. And in terms of the redefinition of what a recession is by the white, like, that is more a continuation of the pattern. Instead of acknowledging, like, look, here's the problem, here's an issue. No, they take no responsibility. They have absolutely no consequences to their actions. And if your money is in fiat, that is political money. That is what you're signing up for. Bitcoin is a silent protest. It's a silent revolution. It's saying, yo, I don't want to participate in this anymore. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the gaslighting. I'm going to take my work, my time, my energy, and I'm going to opt out of your system because I don't want to have my money or earn in a money that could be debased. It's not, I don't think it's cool that you have to work for money that some bureaucrat in DC can work for free. Like, that needs to end. I think a lot of the corruption stems from that, right? So yeah, and this should continue going. Why would they stop if there's no consequences to their actions? Why? Right? And this whole aspect of, you know, and I'm not necessarily just beating up on the Democrats that happen to be in power. When the Republicans are in power, they do the exact same thing. I don't believe that this is a system that is healthy for people. I think that it leads to desperation. I don't think it's a coincidence that Opti, you've been living on a Bitcoin standard. I've been living on a Bitcoin standard for a while. Most people that live on a Bitcoin standard, all of a sudden, because they're saving and earning in a deflationary currency, all of a sudden they have hope for the future. And if you compare and contrast that with a fiat standard, where you constantly have to work harder and you constantly have to just churn out more and more work, it's just not the same. Look, matter of fact, if you're not earning 15%
more than you were earning last year, you are poorer. And the fact that they don't take responsibility for it. For example, they talk about inflation like it's this, like, I don't know where it came from. Like, it's just this occurrence. Like, no. They decided that they were going to print this much money and they believed in the whole modern monetary bullshit. And none of them. It's like, Powell, oh, I didn't know it was going to happen. Like, Christine Lagarde, oh, I had no idea. It's like, look at history. It's always happened. You can't just create money out of thin air. So, yeah, man, I'm just happy I'm in Bitcoin, because if not, dude, like, it would be depressing. It would be terrible. So anyways, let's move on to my favorite section of the show. It's time for
the Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Citadel 21. It's the best Bitcoin culture zine. It's stories, articles, comics by actual Bitcoiners. This is the artwork for Volume 10. This is the artwork for Volume 11. And this is the artwork for Volume 2. Volume 2 is almost sold out because there's only 1,000 physical copies made per volume. Guys, get your physical prints of Citadel 21 today before they run out.
All right, plebs, I am here for the meme review. First one, shout out to my boy RD Bitcoin. He goes, don't shitcoin, Bitcoin only. We got a girl holding a mockingbird and she goes, what a beautiful mockingbird. And the mockingbird goes, you sold your Bitcoin and got wrecked on shitcoins, you moron. Shout out to RD. Okay, next one by @Michael1447304 and he goes, hashtag new profile pic. And it's a picture of Albert Einstein with laser eyes. And he goes, only three things are infinite: universe, human stupidity, and money supply. Burr, 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 burr. Anyways, we got one by the boys and girls at the chateau. And it's someone holding a bug. And they say, let's put you outside, little guy. And it's a girl. And she goes, all life is precious. And then the bug says, Bitcoin uses too much energy. And the girl crushes the bug because she knows that bug is stupid. Anyways, shout out to my buddy Lamy with this tweet. I don't know if this one's a little risque for YouTube, Nico, but I thought this was hilarious. And we have a guy in bed with his wife or girlfriend, and he looks very perturbed outside of bed. And he goes, anarchist when they discovered that they have a body part called the prostate. Okay, next one. BTC Kaz has been doing the meme checkpoints for a while now, and I had to check it out when I saw it over the weekend, and I found my buddy at Nick Can't Mind's meme, and I think this just perfectly sums up all my toxic maxi friends out there. And it's just the XY axis of a chart, and he's basically saying, when you bought the top of Bitcoin and it dumps and then it pumps, and you're just so stupidly bullish that you go, let's fucking go, because you're so excited. This is the way. This is what Bitcoiners do. Next one is by Athrothmus, and it is quoting a headline from some economist magazine. It goes, inflation has turned $15 an hour wages into a setback. Wages have risen this year, but inflation has made that money worthless than before, preventing any meaningful improvement in living standards. And then we got this guy's just so amazed. Oh my God, you don't say. Imagine that. Imagine understanding how inflation actually works. And this one, of course, this is for the culture. Shout out Ghost of Becca. Becca's been murking me on Twitter, but it's a meme war out there, and I'll allow it. And she goes, look at what you've done, Yellow. And it's Yellow as the little girl watching the house on fire. And the house on fire is simply Bitcoin. And it's Yellow. Go start a fight. Remember, guys, the three-point plan of Yellow's bear market tactics. Continue to stack sets, start fights, and tweet about building. So I hope you're doing all that, guys, or boys and girls, plebs, because this is a bear market and Bitcoiners build in the bear market. So my meme review score today is this cup of coffee that is finished, and it says, let's do this. Let's go.
Dude, okay, since this is a live show, rate the meme right now in the chat, and we will literally pop it up
rate, let us know, what would you give those memes? Pop it up in the chat, and we'll try to show it. Anyways, for those memes, Opti, soundboard it. What's the second best?
There is no second best.
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna give those memes. Anyways, guys, we want to know if you agree with it, if you agree with the scores, you disagree. Let us know down in the comment section. Becca's gonna give it a coffee refill. I like it. Good score. Anyways, guys, we want to know. Comment, rate the meme. You disagree? Let us know. Join our Telegram group. It's down the link description. It's absolutely free. You could rate the meme yourself. And of course, make sure to stay until after the show where Opti and Jacob from Swan are going to do a live Q&A. Wait, hold on. BTC Pins is going to give it a Crypto Cloaks koozie. Anyways, really cool. All right, guys, moving on. Today, we have... a website by Plebe. That's right. Anyways... let's check it out. Let's check out what we have for today. This was sent to us by a pleb on Twitter, and it is physicalbitcoinart.com. Definitely want to go check it out. It's awesome. They have coasters. They have Bitcoin thing. It's really, really cool. Really awesome. Really like it. I also want to give a very special shout out to our sponsor, CipherSafe. Don't be that person that writes their seed on paper. Paper is prone to water damage, fires. Don't be that guy. Don't lose your Bitcoin. Store your seed on metal with the Cipher Grid or the Cipher Wheel. It's fireproof. It's waterproof. All of that good stuff. It's awesome. And anyways, I also want to give a very special shout out to our clothing sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. They make awesome merch like hoodies, shirts, t-shirts, hats. It's comfy, it's stylish. Opti's wearing the orange pill shirt. I'm wearing the Represent shirt. It's really cool. Guys, that was our show. That was our first live show. I know it was a little bit messy, but it's the live show, so it kind of makes up for it. You could see Opti and I struggling at the same time. Don't worry, we're still going to do the regular shows, like always. Sometimes we'll do live, sometimes we'll do regular, and depending on also on your feedback, it's really up to you guys. Guys, really appreciate it if you smash that like button, if you subscribe to Simply Bitcoin, of course, if you like the content. And yeah, I'll see, Opti will see you guys in spaces. I'll pop my head in as well. I will see you guys later.
Which one's the best crypto asset? Well, Bitcoin's the best crypto asset. Okay. What's the second best? There is no second best.